Hey, hey, and welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm super happy to have you today. This podcast is dedicated to honoring the woman within the mother and the woman within ourselves, mother or not. We are talking about the divine feminine, educating ourselves on our body, learning how to love ourselves a little bit better, and meet some really interesting people along the way. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Meet Me Downstairs. Today we are talking about one of my favorite topics ever, dun, 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 the pelvic floor in all her magic. And to help me with that is board certified women's health doctor of physical therapy, Allison Oswald. While attending school to become a doctor of physical therapy, Allison discovered a passion for working with women by focusing on the core as a pivotal point for physical and emotional well-being. She went on to receive her board certification in pelvic health to gain even more expertise, and through her studies, she recognized a major gap in treatment existed, specifically related to women and their health issues. So this episode is packed full of incredibly vital information for all women, especially if you are a mother or want to have children someday. The pelvic floor is a very not talked about part of our body, but one that should be like shouted from the rooftop. And that's what we're going to do today. We are getting deep in with our pelvic floor. All right, we're here with Allison Oswald. I'm very happy to have you and to talk all about pelvic floor, motherhood, and like all of the nooks and crannies in between. So thanks for joining us, Allison.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited to be here as well. It's my favorite subject.
It's a good subject to have as a favorite, I think.
Yes, like
we need you. Women need you.
Women need pelvic support. That is definitely, definitely true.
Awesome. Well, we're going to start off with a couple of fun, just little rapid fire questions, get to know you a little bit better, and then we'll get down to the good stuff. So
sure.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Poetry books or novels?
I think right now poetry books.
Favorite guilty pleasure?
My dark chocolate at the end of the day on the couch, before I veg out for a short period of time and fall asleep on the couch.
Yeah. Not a ton of time vegging. It's always like 9:30 done. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. A feeling that you love to feel.
I actually really like to feel surprised.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. A feeling that you don't like to feel.
Overwhelm.
A current streaming binge.
Yes. My husband and I are watching The Staircase.
Oh my gosh.
Have you watched this?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I know nothing about it.
I didn't know
about this. Yeah. So I think I'm like that much more into it. I'm just waiting for the next episode to come out this week. So it's so good.
Yeah. And they really ended last one on a bit of a cliffhanger.
Didn't they?
I'm like, wait, what?
Because the whole, they're really good like, at that,
did he, didn't he, did he, didn't I he? And know. Then you're, but still I'm like, wait, what?
So what anyways. Is going on? I know. So good.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. A musician that you love right now.
You know, I'm like, Coldplay. I like can't stop listening to Coldplay right now. I listen to, you know, their newest album. I don't know. I just love it. I can listen to it over and over again.
They are good. They're like timeless. I feel like
they're timeless, right? Yeah.
All right. One of your favorite things about being a woman.
I feel like I really love that, at least like in this time, but probably forever, but it feels so poignant right now, is like the responsibility that we have, but in a really, it's such an opportunity to have this responsibility of being able, whether that's in motherhood, to share things with our children, just being able to step into that role of representing women. And I take that responsibility really seriously in this, you know, lifetime that we get. And I think that's a really special part about being a woman.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And then one of your favorite things about being a mom?
This was a hard one. But I think that being a mom, I love being able to get into conversations with my kids. And I love that they question me, or they question the world around them. And I hope that they always do. And I have, you know, two a little bit older, 9 and 10, and then I have a 3-year-old. And so, you know, the younger questions are, why is the sky blue type of thing? But the 9 and 10 year old, like, sometimes I walk away just thinking, wow, how do they even know to ask that? And I just love that they feel safe and like they have a space to ask questions. They don't just obey, so to speak. They kind of can get into those deeper moments, which is really special to just learn about who these little people are, right?
Just growing every day. That is very cool. I feel like I'm looking forward to, I'm in the sky is blue question phase. Yeah. but it'll be exciting to like just watch them continue to grow and like become actual human beings. And
I know. Cool. And to just they just come out, you know, a certain way, and that nature versus nurture, it's amazing. So
yes,
it's definitely fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing that. Okay. So we're talking about the pelvic floor. So I figure, like, in case anybody doesn't really know or familiar with what the pelvic floor is and kind of the role it plays, maybe we can start with just a quick breakdown, of the magical pelvic floor.
Oh, I like that you think it's magical too.
Yeah.
So the pelvic floor, when we talk about it, it is really referring to the pelvic floor muscles and the connective tissue, which is also called fascia, that lays at the base of our pelvis. And it's multiple muscles layered, and it's more like a hammock versus, or a basket versus actually a flat floor. And these muscles have a huge responsibility. When we speak of function, we often talk of the 5 S's, meaning it is part of our stability of our pelvis and our hips. It's part of the support system of our pelvic organs, so our uterus, our bladder, our rectum. There's a sphincter control to make sure we don't pee our pants, right? Or poop or pass gas when we don't want to. There is this sexual function for penetrative intercourse. And then the 5th one is called the sump function, and that is referring to our lymphatic system. There are some major lymph vessels that go through our pelvic floor. And so the movement there in the pelvic floor helps to facilitate our lymphatic flow. So that's the real like nitty gritty of the physical support and function of the pelvic floor. And then it also goes a bit deeper into where is the pelvic floor in our body energetically, right? And it is at the root of our energy system, our root chakra, our sacral chakra. It has a lot to do with our feeling of being safe and secure, being able to enjoy pleasure. So there's a huge emotional psychosomatic kind of experience that our pelvic floor is part of as well.
I feel like I have a decent understanding of the pelvic floor, but I actually didn't realize how involved in the lymphatic system it was. So that's really interesting.
Yes, very, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to know that, I mean, all of like so many parts of our bodies hold so many emotions and are responsible for things beyond just physical. And I mean, it is a pretty decent part of our body. And I like that you mentioned that, you know, it's down by the root, you know, kind of like stability of who we are. So
yes,
very cool. And then with this podcast, we talk a lot about pregnancy, motherhood, and I know that the pelvic floor massively kind of adapts and maybe works in a little bit of overtime when you're pregnant. So maybe we can, tell us a little bit about what happens when we become pregnant and the role that it plays in that and even in birth.
Yeah, of course. I mean, pregnancy tends to be kind of the entry point for women to begin to understand what the heck their pelvic floor is, right?
Yep. I knew nothing about it.
And we're trying to change that, right? Because the pelvic floor plays a role in all of our lives, even men. But it is an entry point. And the reason that being is because we begin to feel it a little bit more. And we also begin to prepare for labor and delivery. And we know that the baby, if you're having a vaginal delivery, needs to come through the pelvic floor. So during pregnancy, the biggest shift, you know, hormonally, our joints become a little bit more lax. because of these hormones. And so a part of the pelvic floor function that we just spoke of is stability. So they might need to work a little bit harder to keep your pelvis stable, quote unquote. We're all stable. We're not fragile, right? We're very strong. So sometimes these words can feel very scary and like, oh, it's, you know, I need to hold anchor onto my pelvic floor. It's like, we're really strong. We're well connected. Everything is working. So it works a little bit harder. And then also with the increased weight pushing down on the pelvic floor. That also impacts the pelvic floor. It has to work a little bit harder to hold everything up. Again, back to that support point. I remember, you know, I've been practicing for over 15 years. And even just 15 years ago, or maybe a little bit more during school, there were some guidelines of, you know, women who are pregnant should be doing 80 to 100 Kegels a day. And it's like, what? Why? And I remember someone teaching me, like, it's already working so hard. It's like setting a bowling ball on a hammock. That hammock really has to pull together so that that doesn't, you know, come through. And it's already working so hard. So the pelvic floor is just accommodating to that as you go through pregnancy. So something that's helpful during pregnancy is to understand what it does, because if we can understand the function of the pelvic floor, then we can tap into it. If yes, we have pain and we need more contraction or we need more relaxation. And then also, as you mentioned, leading into labor and delivery, if you're planning on a vaginal, really, or a cesarean birth, there is this thought, there's this theme of getting into that letting go phase, right? So that those last few weeks of pregnancy, preparing for the big shift physically and emotionally in your body of being able to release those muscles, so to speak, and feel the stretch and the length to prepare for that is kind of what the pelvic floor needs to do along the way.
Yes. And I love talking about Kegels because definitely a lot of misconceptions surrounding Kegels. So many. Because yeah, if you're overworking muscles in your body, they tend to become tighter. I mean, maybe not every time, but usually they tend to become tighter. And like you said, when we're looking towards labor, we want to start to release and relax. So if we're continuing to do those Kegels whilst our body is already working in overtime, it's almost like we're creating more work.
We can. Absolutely. Labor. Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes it comes back to what is the definition of a Kegel, right? So how can we really make sure we're communicating the same message?
Right.
And it gets a little bit lost in that discussion. So my definition of a Kegel, because oftentimes women come to me, they're like, well, I've been doing my Kegels, and I'll ask them to explain to me what that means to you. And sometimes they're spot on and they're doing it great. And then other times they're not. So a Kegel to me is when you're just squeezing and lifting the pelvic floor all the time.
I literally just did one.
Yeah, right. You're doing it now. And there is no muscle in our body that constantly needs to be squeezed and tightened. Any healthy muscle tissue can expand and can relax and can contract. And actually, expansion isn't always just letting go. Expansion is what we call eccentrically strengthening. It's where the muscle is getting stronger in a lengthened position. So we need to have both that ebb and flow. It's different for everybody. Everybody's need for a contraction is different, and need for the length is different because we're all starting at a different place too. So knowing how to do both sides of that, you can imagine that's going to increase your connection to your body. You're going to feel more. Your nervous system is going to feel more. You're going to have more control and coordination of your pelvic floor, which really coordination is what we need. We don't just need like this raw strength. So it's really important to define and to understand what people mean by Kegels, because on the other end, they get a really bad rap. And so then women are like, I was told not to do Kegels. I'm not supposed to squeeze. Like, no, for your body, you need to squeeze, but you also need to feel that length down. So it's like, I fall somewhere in the middle. I don't want Kegels to be scary to people, but I also want people to fully understand what they mean.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like sometimes I think this this Kegel and like the obsession with tightening can kind of come from a little bit of a patriarchal background, wanting to be tight for sex for your, if it's a male partner. So absolutely. I think it's just, yeah, I just feel like there's so much wrapped up within the reasons why you might want to be doing them continuously.
Yes. There's so many layers. I mean, there's just like, we could go through all those different things that are contributing to how we equate good with tightness. Right. Yes. And that's just not true. It's just not true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you saying that for sure. And yeah, then
absolutely.
I know with like postpartum, I mean, for me, like you said, pregnancy and all that kind of stuff is really like an introduction to the pelvic floor. So excuse me, an introduction to the pelvic floor. And so I actually didn't even really know about it during pregnancy. I was doing like birth classes, but it was never mentioned. And then postpartum, it was the first time that I had tried to do like penetrative sex, and it was so painful. And mm-hmm. I started doing research on my own, and I was like, found all of this stuff on the pelvic floor and started educating myself, went to see a pelvic floor physio. I just was like, how is this information not out there? Like, how are we not helping women to understand what's going on? Cause you end up feeling like something is wrong with you, or like you'll never be the same, or any of that stuff.
Yeah. And then that really feeds into your pain then, because fear. And so then it's just like this snowball effect of what's going on with me. What did I do wrong? What did I not do? You know, yes, all of that.
Completely. So when it comes to postpartum, yeah, I mean, what are your tips or advice for women when they're in that phase?
So, I mean, to back up a little bit, I would hope that pelvic floor education is part of pregnancy.
Yes.
Because, you know, knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to change whatever your outcome is for your delivery. You know, we do have research that it supports that it, you know, less likelihood of pelvic floor trauma, better recovery, less depression, postpartum depression and anxiety. Because you have a narrative or you have a language about what could possibly happen. What are some very common symptoms, but that are definitely not normal, but to know when to reach out, to know what you're kind of looking for, and to also put the mother in a position where she's even thinking about herself. Because it's so focused on the baby postpartum, and mm-hmm. it's changing. Yes. And there's services and there's support and there's, you know, there is an awareness that's growing. I've definitely seen it grow over my career, but we still have a lot of work to do. I think that really important is just that education piece. And education can be virtual. Education mm-hmm. can be in a pamphlet. It's seeing something written down or hearing something from somebody that is saying this could possibly happen, so that mentally we are more prepared for that in the postpartum. Because I will say my number one thing I get from women is always, is it too late? Mm-hmm. And women ask that at 3 months postpartum. They ask it at 3 years. They ask it at 13 years because everybody's scale, everybody's timeline is so different. And it's not, it's never too late. Yes. If things have been going on for a very long time, we have a little bit more work to do. We have to peel back the layers, so to speak, but it's never too late. So I think just to answer your question, it's knowledge, it's knowing what the heck is the pelvic floor and not making it this elusive area of our body, which has so many important functions, as we've already discussed, but yet we knew nothing about it.
Yes. And I also think there's this, well, in lots of different ways, but this notion of like bouncing back, or the worst one for me was the 6 week appointment at your OB where you're just supposed to be healed and then just get on with your life. And you're like, wait, but there's all these things that are kind of going around, but the healing has just kind of begun.
Yes, I know. I mean, I have plenty of women, friends, clients, that avoid the 6-week evaluation assessment because they're like, I don't want to go because I don't want my doctor to tell me like, all good, you can have sex, you can do, you know, you're back to your workouts, do whatever you want, because it just can't be that. There's nothing that happens at 11:59 the night before your 6-week checkup. And then, the, you know, 1 minute later, you're good to go. And I agree that that bouncing back, there is no bouncing back. We are new people. We're a new physical body, mental body. And it takes a real graduated approach, just like pregnancy. You know, you don't get pregnant and have a baby the next day. You get 9 months to slowly adapt your body, adapt your mind, adapt so many things. And then postpartum, we need to give ourselves the same, the space, the time, the, you know, the love, the ease, the support, all of it to essentially come into our new body, feeling grounded and feeling connected. And it takes that time.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. No rush.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then just before we move off of kind of pregnancy birth, I would love to get your thoughts on episiotomies, because I know that that is like direct impact on the pelvic floor. And in some countries, not used or practiced as often, but in other countries, it is like second nature to some OBs to kind of, you know, pull that scalpel out. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yes. So I really, episiotomies, like you said, are not as common. I mean, I rarely see episiotomies, right, with my clientele, because the thought is if you are going to have some tearing, it's better to have that natural tearing happening. And the risk of the episiotomy is episiotomy, and then you also tear. Mm-hmm. So it ends up being larger and more disruptive to the pelvic floor. Now, with that said, if there is an emergency situation and that baby needs to come into the world, and that's the only choice there is, and that has to happen, of course that has to happen, and you can heal and you can improve and you're going to be okay. But I err on the side of, you know, have those conversations with your providers, see what their take is on them, see when you get to that point, if they do episiotomies, like what is that breaking point? Like, when do I need to do that? Yeah. And are there some other things we can do to try to facilitate a stretch of the perineum without having to, you know, make that cut? Because postpartum, you know, working one-on-one with clients, we do need to work on that scar. It's like a scar anywhere else in our body, and it can contribute to pelvic floor dysfunction. So that's kind of my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah. And with tearing as well, I mean, that part of the body just becomes so sensitive for quite a while. Is there any like little extra healing, or do you think, is it self-massage, perineal massage, or would that be different for each individual?
Yeah, I mean, different for anybody, but essentially, you know, think about it like somebody that just had a knee surgery, right? After you have a knee surgery, after about 6 to 8 weeks, that is healed. And now we want that tissue to feel like the rest of the tissue around it. We don't want a ridge. We don't want any like desensitization where you don't feel anything, right? There's a lot of nerves down there. We want to feel that. And so self-massage is one of them, or if you're working with a practitioner, they massage it, and just making sure that you're trying to get that area to feel again, like the area around it. And there is something pretty powerful about doing it on yourself versus having someone else do it. Again, because you're building that mind-body connection, depending upon the type of delivery, how traumatic it may have been to you, that can hold a lot of tension, a lot of fear, a lot of guilt, a lot of just big emotions. Yeah. And working that tissue can be part of unpacking that and beginning to restore some of that connection.
Quick little promo break here. We've got an amazing childbirth education course that we want to share with you. It's called Birth with Power, and it's been created to do just that, to empower you to birth in your own way, to feel prepared, educated, understanding of your body, the systems that you choose to birth in, the options that are available to you as well, whether it be methods of pain medication, interventions, alternate methods of birth, all of this so that you can truly have a positive an empowering birth experience, no matter the outcome. We chat through breastfeeding, the pelvic floor, different ways that your partner can be of service, and of course, postpartum and matrescence. Listeners of this podcast get an amazing 50% discount with the code MMD50 in all caps. So head over to meetmedownstairs.com and get it going. Birth is meant to be connected and empowered, and now is your chance to have that, whether it's your first or your fifth baby. So MMD50 for Meet Me Downstairs. Head over and enjoy this wonderful, wonderful course. So maybe we can go over a couple of issues that are related to the pelvic floor that maybe we think is normal or like just, well, yeah, but everyone gets that or whatever it is, but
always,
but is actually a signal that attention probably needs to be brought to that area. So whether it's like, I remember doing jumping jacks and being like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yes. Like doing those kind of things, having to rush the toilet, whatever. Yeah. Let us in.
Yeah. There are unfortunately a lot of those, you know, what we call common, but not normal symptoms, especially associated with postpartum, because you've had a baby or you've had three babies or you've had, of course you can't do that. You've done, you know, it's expected, which unfortunately then means that it's really common because women talk about it, but they talk about it in a way oftentimes with no resolution. Like it's not going to change when in fact it can change. And so then, you know, it like spreads like wildfire. Like I'll see one client who, I went to one of those trampoline places with my kids and I peed my pants everywhere. What do I do? And I'll distinctly remember working with this woman and she's like, we need to put your cards in the trampoline place. Like, oh my God, no, there just needs to be a pamphlet there that says you don't need to pee your pants. But peeing with impact is something really common. That's called stress urinary incontinence. It's when there's a high force of, you know, coughing, sneezing, jumping jacks, throwing up, something big on your body that's creating downward pressure and your pelvic floor can't handle that pressure. And how you manage that is you kind of take that task that you can't do without leaking and you back it up and you start to go, okay, if I'm jumping on two legs, like, can I keep one leg down and lift one leg up and still not leak? Like how closely to this activity, what can I do and not leak? And then we start to train all the muscles in your body to build up some support there, because your pelvic floor doesn't work in isolation. It works with so many different muscles. So is it glute strengthening? Is it ab strengthening? Is it learning how to breathe a different way? And then slowly building back up to that activity is really how we approach the rehab for that. But stress incontinence is very, very, very common, as is urge incontinence. And urge is where you're like, you know, key goes in the door and you're like, oh my God, if I don't make it to the bathroom right now, or whenever that urge comes on, you're just like straight to the bathroom, almost peeing your pants. Some people, they do. Some people leak a little bit right before they get to the bathroom.
Yes.
And that is a lot of behavioral training, actually just breaking that pattern and that cycle so that you can have control over when you use the bathroom. Mm,
yes. And then of course there's constipation and like,
all of these that just cut, they all, you, based on location, the pelvic floor is just a key part of that. So constipation is really common. Low back pain is also something common with pelvic floor dysfunction, you know, upper back and neck pain. And if you can believe it, that relates to the pelvic floor. Yes. So all of these things and all of these different tools that can help support the healing. But yes, those are all very, very common, and it's never too late to start working on them.
Yes,
Yes.
And it feels daunting, like you saying, yeah. Like, and I always try to get the message, and I'm trying to even, you know, like portray this to clients, but even on social and blogs, it's like, it doesn't have to be this regimen. You know, yeah. We think all or nothing. It could be as simple as get a squatty potty, which is a little stool that you put your feet on when you have a bowel movement. And it helps to angle your pelvic floor and, you know, your lower pelvis so that having a bowel movement is easier. So if you're not pushing and straining, you're helping to support your pelvic floor. Yeah. That's one thing. Just start doing that. Then maybe practice starting to breathe a little bit different. Like, it doesn't have to be an hour a day of focusing on the pelvic floor.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it too, because you're right. It can feel daunting, especially when you become aware of all of the things that are surrounding the pelvic floor and you realize, wow, there is a lot here that I'm not tending to, or, you know, or you don't even realize that it's a result of perhaps some issues within the pelvic floor.
And you really can't do everything at once. Like, you need to, it would be like, you know, doing 5 cleanses at one time, and which one makes you feel better? Well, I have no idea. I'm doing them all. Like, just little daily, I call them rituals or snacks. It's like having a snack throughout the day. Like, I'm just going to have this little thing. I'm going to do this little practice. And they build up and they start to create this connection to your body that is really powerful.
Yes, definitely. And then I know a big one, especially for me, and definitely with a lot of the moms that have like written in or like DM'd, or, you know, that I've been chatting to over this time, is, and we touched on this a little bit already, but is painful penetrative sex. I think you just don't, you're not aware of it, or you sort of grit and bear it because you feel like, oh, it's just, you know, I think a lot of women are under the impression that it's maybe a little bit normal to have painful sex after having a baby, and they keep going and kind of don't address the issue when it's showing up.
Yes. It's so, so true. And it's so unfortunate because it really has this trickle down effect on your body and your psyche of what in the heck is going on. And unfortunately, still today, I hear when, you know, providers will say, oh, just have a glass of wine, relax a little bit before. Mm-hmm. And it's so dismissive of the underlying causes and possible contributing factors that could be going on. It's such a, again, there's just so many things that can be contributing to that. But women should know that that is not normal, and that they don't need to grin and bear it, and they don't need to keep pushing through it, because when something's painful and uncomfortable, our body is so beautifully designed that we want to protect ourselves, right? So we tighten, and then we start to develop these patterns in our body, then those are hard to break. So it's just, again, I've already used the snowball term, but it just like kind of snowballs onto itself when, yes, that is something postpartum, that like painful sex is never normal. Having intercourse postpartum, if you've had a vaginal birth, it can feel very different depending on when you have penetrative intercourse. It can feel very different based on position, because internally those organs are coming back into your body, so to speak, and finding their place. And they might be in a slightly different place. And like we talked about earlier, it takes a long time for our body to settle into this new body. And so there is a transition, but you women need to be able to discern what is pain and what just feels like, oh, this feels a little different, but it's not painful. And like, let me figure out what I can do to maybe change positions or communicate with my partner, or, you know, have these conversations and discussions, because it can also be an entry point to even better intimacy.
Yes.
And having those conversations and being open and vulnerable, but feeling in a safe space, which is obviously very important.
Yes. And that's a really nice like way to put a positive spin on it too, because I mean, these things may be inevitable, but if you can use it as an opportunity to reconnect, not only to yourself, but to your partner, like it really could, like you said, just open up a whole new doorway for some really good sex.
It absolutely could, for sure. Yeah.
I actually read somewhere that gut health and diet can actually affect your pelvic floor. Is that true?
It's true.
Oh, I mean, tell me more.
there's so much. I mean, our pelvic floor, just think physically where it's located, right?
Yeah.
So gut health is so important for every function in our body. Part of how it impacts the pelvic floor is if our gut is inflamed, right? If it's irritated, if we have distension or bloating, you can imagine that's going to put some pressure down on the pelvic floor and it's going to affect what's going on there. So when we have inflammation, when we have irritation, those muscles, again, our body wants to protect us. They often bind down, they get tighter and more restrictive. And then when that happens, there's less lymphatic flow, there's less blood flow. And that's part of what helps our gut to keep things moving. And for that reason, one of the big things I often teach is abdominal massage, of supporting the natural movement, which is called the peristalsis in the gut to get everything going, is massaging the abdomen while also doing some breathing and trying to let go of the pelvic floor so that we can get that physical connection kind of restored again without that, oh, that hurts. Or if your gut health is off and you have constipation, or if you have hemorrhoids from pushing so hard, or if you have diarrhea even, right? So all of those then impact the pelvic floor and vice versa. Pelvic floor tension can also create some GI issues. If there's no blood flow, if there's, you know, blood flow isn't moving as well as we'd like, or lymphatic flow, and then our nervous system gets involved with that also.
Gosh, you're blowing my mind.
Yeah. We're all connected, right? I mean, yes. We all know this. Yes. And instead of thinking of it as an overwhelming thought, I think of it like this, just one more tool in your toolbox. It's one more thing that, you know what, let's see what happens when I focus on my pelvic floor. Let's see what happens to my gut and vice versa.
So what are ways or just simple things that you can maybe share with us that are ways that we can connect, show up for our pelvic floor more, just like maybe some universal tips that we can do?
Yeah. I mean, I think big one is just to understand where the pelvic floor is and how it functions. I would hope that I could, you know, that women would all know how to engage their pelvic floor and how to lengthen their pelvic floor. And so it's simply like taking a moment through the day, a pause, that ritual, that snack that I mentioned. Sit down on the edge of your bed, sit down on the floor, meditation cushion, whatever's comfortable, sit in your car, and being able to take 5 to 10 breaths of breathing into your pelvic floor. That's when it's expanding and it's opening. And when you exhale, just very gently, you're squeezing and lifting the pelvic floor. And then you're inhaling and letting it go. And you're doing that 5 to 10 breaths. Mm. It will get easier to feel that connection of the contraction and the length. But it's a great way to just every day, you're kind of just touching and, you know, getting involved with your pelvic floor, because then you're going to be more attuned if things are off and things aren't working properly. And then also I think how you use the bathroom, right? We have to use the bathroom. And so, that's like the closest thing we get to having a baby, so to speak, something coming out of our body. And when we urinate, when we have a bowel movement, the pelvic floor needs to lengthen down and open up. The pelvic floor does not push our urine out at all. It's the bladder that needs to contract. So every time you're using the bathroom is an opportunity to connect with that lengthening, feeling that openness and trying to allow the bladder. So you're not, people call it like power peeing. We sit down, you pee really, really fast because your toddler is screaming and you got to get it out the door. And it's setting up these unproductive habits for your body. And it's kind of messing things up. It's going in the opposite. And the same goes for having a bowel movement, being able to relax, allowing the pelvic floor to lengthen so that you can have bowel movement without pushing. Mm. And it's just a great place that, again, we use the bathroom all day. So why not use that as an opportunity to connect with and even visualize what's happening with the pelvic floor?
Mm, yes. Love that.
Yeah. So well, those would be two ways to honor thy pelvic floor.
Well, I'm going to try and add those in because we're just on autopilot so often, but I think even you know, just taking those time for your pelvic floor, I bet it would ricochet into other parts of yeah. your life too, feeling yeah. better. So
exactly.
great tips. Thank you yeah. for sharing. And then, I mean, are there any final little thoughts or notes that you want to share that maybe we haven't touched on that you just feel like, oh, I just want to sprinkle that in there?
I feel like we've sprinkled a lot of pelvic
health.
I absolutely love it. I think that something really important is to give yourself the space or the pause, just that moment. It's, and I know motherhood is so all encompassing. But like I mentioned in that tip of finding, is it a spot in your room? Is it a, you know, a space in your backyard? That's just like your moment to take a pause for yourself and think about your body and just check in, I think is just so important for pelvic health, because I don't think it needs to be this big 30-minute routine that you need to do. It's just that awareness. And then just knowing that you can reach out for support, that there are people out there that want to help and want to give you the tools specific for your body, so that you can feel your best.
All right. So my last question is, this podcast is really dedicated to the woman within the mother and the woman within ourselves and how we sort of honor and support her. So what are things that you do in your life that honors the woman within you?
I think that the two big things that come to mind kind of piggyback off of what I was just saying. And I have a little, you know, corner in my bedroom, small, that has my little meditation cushion. And I do give myself just 3 minutes. Sometimes it's 10, you know, it's just like, sometimes I get a little extra of sitting there and just taking a moment. And I try to focus on my breath, focus on my gratitude, and just like taking a pause for myself. And if I don't do that, I feel really much less grounded throughout the day. So I do that, and I try not to think of the kids' schedules and try not to think of everything else that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But just having that pause. And then I also think like community is so important. And I really, as a woman, relate to my, you know, girlfriends. And I really work hard to maintain my close connections and my girlfriends and take time for that, because that really fuels my soul and makes me a lot more present and happy and joyful in my life.
Love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. And
oh my goodness. Thank you.
Yeah, if there's anything that you are I have going on that you want to let our listeners know about, I'll also make sure to tag you and put any links to what you've got going on in the episode description. But yeah, if there's anything that you want to plug, yeah, go for it.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is I've got a lot of digital stuff kind of on, you know, working right now that will hopefully be out soon. So stay, you know, in touch for that. But as of currently, what I have on my website is a digital postnatal course, which is a foundations course to pelvic health and core health. And it really breaks down the basics of what the pelvic floor does, how you breathe, how to connect with your body. It is safe and effective for women, you know, immediately postpartum, but also it's a great jumping off point for anybody that just wants to know, what do I do with my body? And how do I connect to this area of my body postpartum? I love it when women use it during pregnancy to prepare. So we talked about that, like having that education before gives you such a jumping off point. But anytime after you've had a baby, it's a great way to begin that relationship with your pelvic floor. So that's available on my site. There's going to be a much more in-depth postpartum course coming soon, which has a movement series with it, which is going to be awesome. And you know, social media, Instagram is probably my most common place that I show up for right now. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure that all your stuff is included.
Great.
And my God, like, thank you really so much for sharing your knowledge and information. I just really appreciate it. So yeah, thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much and we will chat on the next episode.